Well, the good news about having the new NCAA Men's College Cup on Fridays and Mondays is, well, between games and before a national championship, we get a check-in with the head coach of Indiana Men's Soccer. It's my great friend, Todd Yeagley. Enjoying the extra day of rest as we talk here on a Sunday afternoon?
This is big, Glass. I mean, we've been fortunate to be in Final Fours where we'd be the final would be over right now. And I'm just thinking back of having another really about 30 hours of rest is immense. And, you know, having that second game, which we've been selected, I think probably 90% of the time, maybe more, I don't know. The guys really couldn't get to bed much on Friday night at a decent hour. So this extra day rest is really great, and it's been a great change for college soccer, and excited to get after it tomorrow night.
Yeah, and we're excited to have you today, and we'll go back and talk about obviously how we've got we took care of Friday night, now we'll get to Monday night, but let's go back before we go forward as we always do. Another just fantastic performance on Friday night, and I know after the game I saw your press conference, I know how pleased you were. I know how excited the boys were, and all that is perfectly true. And it was, I thought, very interesting to see, again, how 11 guys defended, how you stayed connected. Everybody simply just did their job, and the fruits of that labor was a pretty comfortable 2-0 victory over a really good attacking Pittsburgh team.
It was. It was, you know, Pittsburgh is so good at some of their ball rotations and their front half possessions and their ability to play out of pressure. And we asked, I thought, a lot of good questions of them at different times of like, okay, do you want to play out of this? And we did a little bit of pressing up the field, but quickly realized, okay, if we get broken, where do we retreat to? Where do we set up? Where do we need to, again, make sure we're following men? Where do we need to clog space? And they were locked in. Obviously some nervy moments where we might have missed a movement, and yet most of their danger was sitting 30 from goal, and you can't win a game if you don't put the ball into dangerous spots and get shots off. And that's the part I was so pleased, is they did have some good sustained possessions, but we really did a great job of eliminating the dangerous pass, the one that can break you. And then as the game unfolded, they obviously started putting a little bit more ball in the box, and obviously great save by JT there late to make sure we didn't concede one. But it was great. And then obviously we're so good in transition with some of our speed and the way they get numbers forward that when they lost the ball, Glass, we had great opportunities, and we wanted to encourage them to be aggressive. The flip side of that is like, okay, if you don't capitalize to get a goal, you might have to defend a little bit more. And so we had to really decide, okay, are we okay with losing some possessions at times or going after it? And we said, yeah, let's go after it. And if we lose the possession, we have to defend a little bit more, so be it, as long as we can make sure we don't break in the back.
And again, everybody keeping their lines, holding their spots, working in, like I told you, hunting in packs, and just making sure that they were all together. Nobody kind of strayed from the group, and that's been a hallmark of this team. Everybody gets it. Everybody plays on both ends of the field, and, we always talk about it, and it's a tale as old as time again. Goals win football matches, and if Herb Enderle is not in the Pittsburgh Hall of Fame yet, gee whiz, they should go ahead and put him in.
Yeah, we've been joking for – since the end of the Greensboro game, and once we knew that we were playing Pitt, I said, Pitt, I mean, Herb, you are kryptonite to Pitt. Like, they literally, he is the dagger, and you know why. From the first time we played him, game winner, you know, being down 2-0, we come back, play a great second half, 3 years ago, whatever that was, 19. And then his solo run last year, he created danger in the COVID final. But really the key was that run he made, and an absolute bomb finish with not much angle, kind of put it up top shelf. And then, you know, he was able to get to the moment to draw the penalty, because he's so quick on second balls with his pace. And then, ironically, he gets the shot off that goes to Tommy, and Tommy puts that really difficult finish in from the angle that I think caught the keeper sleeping. And there it is again. Herb's it continues to be Pitt's kryptonite.
Well, I'll give Herb one more assist because he drew the penalty. It was all night.
Yeah,
it was all Herb all the time.
It was.
And again, just being in the right spots there, and just a moment of madness from the Pittsburgh defense. And I want you to talk about Wittenbrink in that spot as well. That's not an easy place to be. You guys haven't had a million penalty kicks this year or over the last few years, where it's not like Harry Kane's going up there. And I know Harry was one for two.
Yep.
But the point is, Wittenbrink goes up there again. Wittenbrink against Pittsburgh. Let me get that figured out.
That's right.
He steps up to the spot. Great save, but what does he do? He doesn't hold his hands or go down to his knees or spin around and cry about it. He goes and cleans up his mess he made, and it's 1-0.
Yeah, we train that all the time, Glass. We do. I mean, we don't train a penalty to go. I mean, we just follow our actions really well. And, you know, we have the terminology sniffers. And in that case, it's, you know, you're the next closest. We have guys positioned. We have great, you know, moments from years past on, you know, a goalie save, and we got the rebound because the way we position ourselves in the in around the box, and those little details matter. And yeah, I mean, it you've seen so many where a field player immediately kind of like has the head goes down and the hands go up, and they're like, you had no idea you had a chance at the second ball, and that's good discipline by Witt. And that we're proud of that. I mean, obviously we'd love for him to bury it, but those little things add up. And they said the same thing after. They're like, we followed the shot, coach. We did what we needed to do. I said, you did. Great job. And those things pay off.
And I think that's important for our listeners and fans to know that you do train on the little things, and little things do become big things. You know, it's great if Kylian Mbappe is your center forward and he scores 47 goals a season. That's great. But not every team is built that way. And little things become big things. And even Mihalik's goal there at the end of the first half, everybody thought, well, that's just going to roll out of bounds. Let's just walk into halftime. It's 1-0. We'll all reboot and everything else. Well, not Mihalik and not Herb.
No, especially Tommy on the day Croatia does what they did. He was going to be – he had extra juice in him. He was fired up, as he said in the post-game presser. He, you know, the day couldn't
– Yeah, pretty good day, huh?
The day came different. Pretty good day. Pretty good day. So he's – but you're right. A lot of guys might have just said, you know, seen that ball out and said, okay, got a 1-0 lead going into half. But he sprinted to that ball and took a difficult angled shot, but was also aware – of where we were in the time. I mean, that you may be a different decision if it's a different phase of the game,
right,
different time of the game. But he knew he was under 30, and it's like, let me go for this tough angle, and if we get something out of it, it's glory. If we don't, no issues. Let's we'll get into halftime 1-0.
And I thought the other part of the little things become big things. If you're going to cheat on the cross there, goalkeeper, boy, you better be right. And he was not, and 2-0 is 2-0 at halftime. And your boys, Todd Yeagley's boys, took care of business in half number two. I found it interesting after the match listening to Jay Vidovich's comments that goal ruined them. I was surprised to hear that because, as you've told me before, the Greensboro game, great example. It's 2-0. What's the next biggest goal in the match? Well, that one could sway it either direction. It's either 3-0 or 2-1. And Vidovich says in his postgame, when that one went in, that was a tough one for us to stomach. Wow, I was shocked because of Noel and Jacques Wisson could score at any time. Pittsburgh decided to try to kick you off the park throughout the most of the game, 16 fouls to 4, and not a lot of high-leverage situations for those big-time attacking players, a complete and utter dominant performance from my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's the – you just have to be so locked in defensively against a team like Pitt, and everyone has to do the job. And I think there's enough players and teams out there that they'll have a couple one-way guys, or there won't be a commitment to rotate or to shift or communicate, and they're on their own page, and that's where they expose you. And then and a lot of those fouls were in those transition moments where we were able to catch them before they were able to get back into their shape. And that's why you saw the difference and fouls. I mean, most teams, you know, they're fouling Pitt because they're chasing and late to challenges. I mean, to show that you can defend a team of that quality and have four fouls also means you're not late to a challenge. Your footwork's right, your deceleration's right, your help position's right, because if you're not, you're fouling. You're always a step behind in the play. And we knew that you give them a free kick from 22, 25 out. They had some special guys in those spots, Glass. I mean, I'm watching some of their goals then on free kicks. I'm like, oh boy, let's be good about not fouling. And they did. They did a great job of not giving them, you know, a really dangerous set piece on the night.
Little things become big things, and there's nothing bigger than playing for a national championship on Monday night, 6 p.m. ESPNU. Our friends at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall are going to open the doors. Free admission for anybody in the community. Doors open at 5:30. Watch the games on the big screens. Well, that's pretty exciting, isn't it? Your 17th foray into the national championship, Indiana, with 8 titles, 8 defeats. But, well, that's good. If you've been there 16 times, I think that's the number. That is the big deal. The 17th time in program history for Todd Yeagley and the Indiana Hoosiers. All right, so now here you are in the final. You get your extra day of rest. And, well, what is tomorrow, Monday, going to look like? Because, unlike Friday, you don't have a couple World Cup games to distract everybody to take their mind off the final. Without divulging into all of your tactics, what is Monday going to look like? Or I guess it would be today when this interview is airing. What does today look like for you?
Yeah, it's going to be, well, one, it's actually a really good time of the day. You know, an 8:30 kick is late, and 6 is a really nice time. It kind of breaks up a little bit of the afternoon. These guys would obviously get a little bit of rest. We'll have a couple meetings. Last few video sessions we'll do tomorrow and get over to the stadium and not worry about also, I don't know if you remember, there was a women's final before we played Marshall, and that was penalty kicks and then the celebration. That really threw off.
Yeah, you were in the bus forever.
The rhythm. Yeah, it was a long preparation for that game, and so it's just great that we will start on time and be ready. But it's going to be a cagey game, Class. I mean, they're physical, they're direct, they're athletic. The front two are uniquely usually there's kind of a little bit of a yin and yang of kind of a playmaking 10 and a striker. They're both kind of perennial strikers. So they're both going to be probing, stretching. They're both capable of getting behind you. They can create in 1v1 situations very well. They have pace in the wide areas. They're sturdy as can be. They're old. They're good. I mean, there's a reason they won the double in ACC and they're 18 wins. I mean, they didn't luck their way into this game.
They are.
Most teams I've played, yeah, they're very good.
They are ACC champions, as you remember, as you've obviously pointed out. They are also most wins in school history, and they are also in uncharted territory. Is that an advantage for your crew? Syracuse is playing in their first final. They were, I believe, 8-8-2 last year. They were 2-something and whatever before that. This hasn't been a team, perhaps, with the success and camaraderie. One of the big strikers, Levante Johnson's a transfer in. They remind me a little bit of Pittsburgh, and they're going to score some goals, it appears. Does that make that transition easier as well?
I think I think our guys, from the standpoint of being in this game, no matter if you win that game or not, you get back to that game, and there's certainly a confident level that you're like, okay, because every player, the first time you're in a final, there's a lot going on in that mind. And for these guys to be really like, okay, we know we got a heck of an opponent. That's going to be really, we got to play well. We got to do all those little things that we talk about, Class. But we have felt this game. We've had this rhythm. We've had the days leading up to it. There's a lot of hoopla around. They've been able to see it and internalize it, but not let it affect them. And if it did the first time, a couple of them, then certainly we can use to our advantage in this game. But, you know, it's still going to come down to two teams, you know, pulling the socks up, getting after it in between the lines. I do feel our fans and the band and the whole atmosphere is an X factor, always has been. When we hear that fight song and we're warming up and you see our IU fans, which always We never lose that battle with a tailgate and with fans. The only people I've seen more, and that was Marshall, who got they somehow got, I think, the whole state to come out to that game. But historically, we've always traveled and had an unbelievable support system, whether it's physically in the stadium, around it, and I think that plays to our advantage.
Does the other part of your scheduling play to your advantage as well? You've seen Clemson, another ACC team, your history recently with Pittsburgh as well. Is it the same style of play throughout that conference? It looks like they go 4-3-3. That's more of our best defense is attacking. How do you see this game at 6 o'clock on ESPNU developing, if all things go according to Hoyle, from the Hoosier end?
Yeah, I think the fact that we've seen similar, so we've played a couple of their opponents. And anytime you can, when you go back and you watch portions of games or parts of games or the whole game and you played against that team, you have a much better perspective of, because you've had experiences like, oh, we got after that player, or we had good opportunities in that space, or this is a tendency, and then you can compare them a lot better. So our schedule did give us some really good comparables, whether that's Louisville, we played in preseason, but they played it as obviously a real game in the sense of their personnel. Obviously, we played Clemson. There was a couple other common opponents, and it's helpful. In the end, their shape is a little bit different. I wouldn't say they're the typical ACC team. I think they're the team that doesn't mind getting a little bit of a street fight. And that's not really common ACC. They're trying to massage the ball around the field a little bit, most of those teams. So they're a little bit of an outlier in that they have guys that can play, but they have an up-tempo and also a pretty tough mentality. So this but yet we've played teams on our schedule that I think probably we've seen more of that than they have. So we can go right back at them, because this group's developed into a pretty tough group.
And the team from Syracuse, again, playing in their first final against Todd Yeagley's Hoosiers tonight. Syracuse had a very difficult opening match of the tournament. They beat Penn 2-1 in overtime. They, again, I don't beat Vermont 2-1. They give up 2 goals against Creighton, who we knew had the nation's leading scorer into it. This was a team that didn't give up many goals in the regular season. Now, door's a little cracked. Conversely, add another game, add another 90 minutes, add another zero to your defense's scoreboard.
They have been, I would say the teams they played have been a little bit different than some of their ACC opponents, which, you know, I do know this class. They don't give up tons of chances. They're a team that typically has the margin and shots. But it seems as though the chances they give are some really good ones. So it comes down to the proverbial, how do you execute the really good chances that you get? You may not get as many in this game, but the ones you get could be really good looks. And so that's typically how games are decided. And I think we'll have those good moments. And again, I love the way we're defending. We're going to have to play as good or better than we've had, because they do challenge you a bit different. They're going to get more balls in the box. They're going to commit more players into the box. They're going to serve more balls. The ball will be in and around our box more. And anytime you do that, you got to be clean with your functional clearances. You got to communicate well, and you got to defend the second ball. And that's going to be critical. On Monday night.
No style points. It's goals that win football matches, and clean sheets sure help in that direction as well. How's your forecast look for Monday night?
Perfect weather. Yeah, we're looking at 40s, you know, clear skies. The field's phenomenal. It's going to be an absolute perfect night for soccer.
Well, I hope we are talking, as we do every Wednesday, coming up here in just a couple of days. And it would be nice to take all of our old gear and replace it with gear with 9 stars upon it. We wish you nothing but the best of luck to you, the staff, all the fans that are there. Coach, have a great one, my man, and I hope our conversation on Wednesday is an all-timer.
That would be an all-timer. Thanks, class.
Todd Yeagley, Indiana men's soccer coach, live from Cary, North Carolina. Well, not live. It was live yesterday, but this is Monday, so we're not live. But we thank Todd and always for his time, especially on such large occasions as this.